You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Well, everybody ready this morning? Turn with me to Romans 14. We'll start there. Got something just on my heart I want to share with you. Hey, just the other night we got to go to a missions banquet in Fort Worth. Ron and Betty went with us, Amanda Ryan and Dr. Galloway and Rance, Pastor Rance went with us, and Brent and I. And it was an organization that we helped get started. We've been supporting for years, ATAC. You've heard us talk about ATAC, Air Transport Arm of Christ, that they fly planes into Mexico and Central America, and dental trips and optometrist trips and work trips, going to indigenous areas and just give free service, you know, help these people. And then we preach to them at night. And in many cases, churches have started from that. In fact, one trip in particular Ron was on. Ron and I and Dr. Galloway and Rance was on that trip. And we flew into San Luis Potosi, got in a couple of trucks, and drove into the state of Zacatecas. And then we went to a little village called Espiritu Santos Village, which had no church. I mean, there's a little village called Espiritu Santos, and it has no Holy Spirit Village, and it had no church. And we worked on teeth all day. We slept in a pup tent the first night, and you could not find a piece of ground. It didn't have rocks in it. I mean, oh, man, we woke up, and we finally got into in that village, there was somebody had a little store. We slept on a concrete floor, and we kept hearing and smelling something. We got up the next morning, daylight, there's a stall with a horse in it right beside us. It was a kitchen. The kitchen was right beside, yeah. And then we, of course, went out to shave. We had to pull water out of a well, and it was cold. You ever shave cold water? Woo! Wow. But anyway, we had a big time, and we put a tent up there. I preached every night. We worked on teeth every day, and I preached every night. I think Walt was cutting hair. You know, Walt would do that. Walt was on that trip, and he set up a chair, and he was cutting their hair. And we were working on teeth. And you know, we had some miracles. We had some people get saved. But here's the good part. That's great. That's awesome there. But the next year I heard, and we found out, that they'd started a church right there in that town. Whew! Isn't that great? So it's just awesome. It was a great, great ministry. In the early years of ATAC, Dr. Galloway and I were very involved in that ministry. In fact, we made several trips a year. In fact, some of y'all made trips on ATAC. Some of y'all, Jerry, you've been down. Yeah, Jerry's been down there, and different ones. Bobby's not here today. Bob Burrow's been on them. And, of course, Kenneth. It's still alive and growing. Yeah, right there in Espiritu Santos Village. Hallelujah. Just an awesome thing. But we saw some old clips that I didn't even remember. I did not remember these clips. They're showing a promo clip of when they started ATAC, and I was the first chaplain that they had at ATAC. And Dr. Galloway got all the dentists together. We're talking back in the early 80s, by the time we started the church. And so Dr. Galloway gets out, he's leaning on a plane, you know, in his scrubs and talking about he's getting these dentists together. Next thing I know, I'm stepping out of the plane with my afro. I had natural curly hair years ago, and it's blonde. That's what. And so I get out, and I sound like a country hick, man, I'm telling you. Well, that's a privilege to be part of ATAC, you know. And, I was just going on talking about being the pastor, the chaplain, first chaplain there. But we've blessed a lot of people, hallelujah, over the years. It was a great time. We got to see Bill Knight. Bill Knight is the CEO, president of that whole thing. They did it in a hangar, and there was two planes there while we had the banquet. It was really neat, really neat. Saw a lot of people we hadn't seen before. I
haven't seen
them. A long time. Yeah, I hadn't seen in a long time. I just looked for people that had gray hair or no hair, and I figured I'd know them, so. Anyway, y'all found Romans 14. That's one of the missions we support. Not all that I just said, you're a part of that over the years. We still give them monthly support. Every month we support ATAC and have for years. Romans 14, verse 19 says, and this is, I think, is King James. I'll read out a couple translations. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith we may edify one another. Wow. That's a mouthful there. That would be a project that would keep you busy at least another day or two, if not next week or the rest of your life. You know, you choose what you pursue. You choose what you talk about. You choose what you do. You choose that. And so he's saying we ought to pursue and choose the things that make for peace. Sometimes you don't want to say anything. Sometimes you let things slide. You let them slip in a conversation. Because to bring up something is just going to make it worse. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes it's just time to zip the lip and pray and go on. And then, sometimes you have opportunity to edify. Everybody say edify. That word in the Greek is oikidomo. O-I-K-E-D-O-M-E. We get like a dome. We build domes. In fact, that is literally the interpretation of the word. What it means is to build up, to build, like building a house. So you and I have an obligation, he's saying here, to build up each other. And we need each other to do that. That's what church is all about. I'm a better man because of you. There's no doubt about it. Coming here and pastoring for 31 years has made me a better man. Being around each of you and gleaning from each of you and your faith and your prayers and your faithfulness and your counsel and so on. So over the years, has made me what I am today. We're all a part of each other. And everyone in here should be able to say the same thing. You know, I think about at funerals or homegoings, as we call them. That's one thing I say often, that we've all been touched by this life. We've all been changed by this life. We're celebrating here today, you know, this person that's gone on to be with the Lord. Because we're all connected. And that's what John Donne said in his book, Meditations. You know, he's an old English poet cleric. He said, no man is an island entire unto himself, but every man's a piece of the whole. And he was talking about the continent of Europe. He said, if one piece of the continent of Europe, I'm paraphrasing, be washed off into the sea, Europe is the less. Therefore, every man's death diminishes me, for I'm a part of mankind. And you'll recognize this, therefore, sin not for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. It tolls for us to get involved in mankind and to be, according to the scripture here, someone that builds up others, not someone that tears down others. Wouldn't you like that to be said about you? Amen. Man, he was always encouraging. He always made me feel like $1 million. Brother Osteen had that gift. Our pastor, John Osteen, I can remember, it seemed like every service I went to, I just walked out feeling like I could take on the world. I mean, he had a gift of making you feel like you could make it, that you could do it, that you were somebody, that you counted. And he was just preaching the gospel. That's what the gospel does. If I preach it right, if I do it right here, then you're going to know that you count, you're going to know that you're somebody, you're going to know you're loved, you're going to know you can make it, you're going to walk out here with hope. If I do it right. If I do it wrong, you won't. And sadly, but true, many people are in church today and walk out worse for wear. Shouldn't be that way. And in a conversation and in a relationship, what are you saying here, really? It's not so important that when somebody walks away from you that they think you're a good guy, you know, or a good lady or whatever. It's more important when they walk away that they feel better about themselves. Are you with me? I think we make too much of being impressive. We want to impress, but we want to help. We want to help them. We want to encourage them. And that's what he's saying here, that we ought to pursue the things that make for peace, where we may build up one another, encourage people in their dreams, and encourage them in their vision. I think it was Zig Ziglar said that you cannot, if you help enough people achieve their dreams, you'll achieve yours. If you help enough people get to their goals in life, then you'll achieve yours. There's a guy called Charles Warner. He was an essayist, American essayist. He said, no one can sincerely try to help one another without helping himself. It's just impossible. You're going to help somebody, you're going to help yourself. The New English translation of this verse says, so then let us pursue what makes for peace and for building up one another. The Amplified says, so let us then definitely aim for and eagerly pursue what makes for harmony and for mutual upbuilding, edification, and development of one another. Hallelujah, somebody. Are you with me? See, my job and your job is not just to grow spiritually, not just to mature, but it's to help others mature. We're not in this thing by ourselves. So what makes for peace? What builds up? You know, tell people they can't make it, it's not going to happen. I was watching an interview, and we'd recorded it. I've never watched a show in my life, and I'm not trying to make an excuse for being holy. I'm holy. But we recorded something, Brent recorded. The Duck Dynasty was being interviewed on Jimmy Fallon's show, which I've never watched. But anyway, she recorded that part, and right before that, there's this Steve Harvey. is a comedian. He was on there. He was talking about different people he'd had on his show and how that he has some game show where they pick a word. I am just ripping this thing up. I can't remember how this thing goes, but he was asking this lady, and she had a rapper brother, about pork. What word rhymes with pork? What word, and he was explaining this to Jimmy Fallon. He said, I had this guy on there, and he was 29 years old, and he was a rapper, and he said, he ain't going to make it. But anyway, I thought, well, that's not really what we should be doing. But he was saying, I asked him, I said, well, give me a word that rhymes with pork. And he said, oh, that's easy, that's easy. Cupine. Porcupine. He said, well, what? The guy's thinking of a word that goes with, not something that rhymes. He didn't understand the question, you know. But he was saying, but I thought, that's exactly the opposite of what I want to preach here, is that he was telling me, he says, he ain't going to make it. He's not going to make it. Well, we want to help people make it, amen? And maybe the right thing to say is that you don't need to be rapping. You need to do something else. You're not going to make it at that. But encourage and build up and lift. Don't tear down people's dreams, amen? Do what you can to help them. And if they're on the wrong track, pray for them. At least do that. But don't spend your life just being critical of others and armchair quarterbacks. And, you know, if you row the boat, you don't have time to rock it. I've had so many people tell me I ought to be doing something else. You have no idea. I've had minister friends come through, especially in the early years, and said, what in the world are you doing in Wills Point, Texas? You got no business in Wills Point, Texas. You need to be over here. You need to be out there. See, God never told me that, though. God told me to come here. Are you with me? And until God tells me to go somewhere else, I'm staying right where he told me to go. In fact, you need to be doing the last thing God told you until he tells you to do something else. And you say, how long? Well, until he changes his mind, I'm going to keep doing what he said the last time. And the last time I heard God on this deal, he said, go to Wills Point, Texas, and he's never said leave. And that was 31 years ago, and I'm still here. Are you with me? And if he says go tomorrow, I'll leave. I don't anticipate that happening, but he hasn't said that to me. Are you with me? So we ought to look for things that build up others. In any conversation, you can go toward strife, toward division, toward disagreement, or you can find things that you agree on, or you can talk about fishing or honey. Hello. Or whatever else women talk about. I don't know. You know, whatever y'all do. Sometimes politics is not the thing to bring up. Are you with me? Unless you agree, you know. Once you find out, disagree, move on to something else. What's the point? Right. You're not going to win them. They're not going to win you. Let's just talk about something we do agree on. Hey, how about those Cowboys? Anyway, I don't have a right to belittle anybody. To belittle is to belittle. Isn't that right? It's not how big you look when it's all over. It's how big they feel when they leave that conversation with you. You know, do they feel better? And that's the things that we need to be asking each other. And there's some common ground here with people. I don't think it's complicated. It's not that deep. Now, I'm talking about some simple truths here, and some of this seems to be kindergarten. But I think sometimes as Christians, we forget this. We think as long as we talk about Jesus, we don't care how they feel. We don't care if we hurt them. We don't care if we crush them. We don't care if we destroy them. Well, you're not going to win anybody that way. I can tell you that right now. Jesus reached out to people, and he took the down and outers and turned them around. And it was the harlots and the publicans and the drunkards that got saved and followed him. It was the religious people that crucified him. Hello. So he had a unique way of reaching out to those that were lost, those that were hurting, those that were in sin, not condoning their sin, but finding something he could compliment them with or pull them in with. Are you with me? And he didn't compromise sin. I'm not saying that at all. But it was amazing how he moved through the crowd. You ever notice that? I mean, he'd move through the crowd and just pick up people. I mean, these people just start flocking behind him because he gave them hope. I remember watching a well-known evangelist years ago on a talk show, and he was sitting beside a guy that was a rocker. You know, he was a rock and roll guy. And the rock and roll guy was sitting there. And, of course, he's wild, and, you know, he wasn't saved. I understand. But I guess they were together and on some secular talk show. And this well-known evangelist was sitting there and looked at him and said, you know, it's just everything I can do even sit here beside you. I thought, he just lost that guy. I mean, no matter what he says after that, he's lost that guy. How in the world are you going to witness somebody like that? How, you know, he devalued the person. You know, and just belittled the person. He didn't build him up. You know, he didn't reach out to him and try to minister to him. It's just like he wrote him off. And I thought, I don't want to be that way. I am, you know, born and raised in East Texas, and I'm country in that respect. And you can take the boy out of the country, can't take the country out of the boy. But I don't want to be a redneck Christian. Are you out there? You know what I'm saying when I say that. That I just mean in redneck about everything. I don't want to be a yuppie Christian either. But I don't want to reach out to people. You know, I read a book one time, John Maxwell book, read several of his books, and he mentioned five things, you don't have to write these down, that everybody needs to understand about people. First of all, everybody wants to be somebody. I don't care who you are, you want to be somebody. And I don't care who you're talking to. I don't care whether they got an education or not. I don't care if they got money or not. I don't care what they look like. They want to be somebody. That's common with everybody. And no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. Hello. That's kind of what we're doing with the food ministry. That's kind of what we're doing with the Hallelujah Night, you know. It's a soft sell. We're not grabbing people and cramming Jesus down their throat, but we're trying to help them. We want them to know we love them. Are you with me? It's all about Jesus. There's no question. Everything we do is about Jesus. But that's just outreach. That's just reaching to it and trying to get them some food and trying to get these kids off the street. I heard a guy on television, Bill Meyer, ungodly, heathen guy, said that we ought to pass out marijuana on Halloween to the kids when they come by. I think, are you kidding me? And you wonder why people flock to something like this on Halloween? Hallelujah Night, because it's safe. Are you with me? It's Christian. It's family friendly. And we're not going to hurt anybody. We're going to help them. I mean, it's a crazy world we live in. And he actually said that. I'm thinking, how do you even say that and get away with something like that? He was talking about being ought to be legal, you know, and he's said, I think we ought to just, he was serious. He wasn't even making a joke either. I thought, that is just sick. Now, people don't want to know how much you know until they know how much you care. Amen? And then he said this. He said, everybody needs somebody. Everybody needs friendship and encouragement and help. Everybody does. Don't you think there's supermen out here and superwomen here that don't need a word of encouragement, that don't need a word of uplifting, don't need a little bit of praise. Oh, come on. We're Christians. We ought to be the most uplifting people in the world. We ought to be the most encouraging people in the world. People ought to just synonymous with us. Oh, they're Jesus people. You're going to get a good word from him. He's going to help. He's going to make you feel like $1 million. You go talk to him. He'll encourage you. He'll get you back up again. Are you with me? People need encouragement. That's common to everybody, no matter how big you get. I know big-time preachers that, you know, they fight depression like anybody else. They need to be encouraged. They need to be told that was a good message. Hello. I better get a bunch of compliments when this thing's over. No, I'm not. Everybody can be somebody. There's something else we need to understand. Everybody can be somebody when somebody understands and believes in them. Pure and simple. You know, I use me as an example because I know more about me than all of y'all. But I was a nobody before I got saved. You would never, ever have believed that God was going to choose me, make me a pastor, if you had seen me before I got saved. No way. Not in 1 million years. I wouldn't have blamed you either. I wouldn't have believed in me either. Are you with me? If you'd seen the way I lived and what I came out of and, you know, and the things I'd done back then when I was lost and, you know, just a loser looking for a place to happen, looking for a place to lose again, you know. And I got saved. Hallelujah. Somebody believed in me. Somebody witnessed to me. Somebody thought that I just need to get saved. That's what I need. Amen? And everybody can be a somebody. That's the thing. Everybody can be a somebody. Everybody can turn around. Everybody can improve. Everybody can get better. So everybody can be a somebody when somebody understands and believes in them. And fifth, five things I wrote here. Anybody who helps somebody influences a lot of bodies. I thought that was good. You help one person, you influence a lot of people. I think over the years, we saw that film with ATAC, that missionary organization, in the early years when we first started. And to think about all the stuff they've done since then, that's 31 years ago, I think they started over 30 years ago. But, you know, it started with little. It started with somebody believing our church. Somebody believed. Somebody started. You know, we didn't start like this with all the land buildings and ministries and all the money is flowing through our church and people getting saved and healed and filled with the Holy Ghost. We didn't start that way. It started much smaller than that. But we've influenced a lot of bodies, you know, by hanging in there and encouraging people and giving a good word and people coming in, telling people they can make it, that God loves them, he's not against them, they can be forgiven, they can live holy, they can live right, they can get their future lined out, that God is not giving up on you, hallelujah. If you're willing to come to him and call on him, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and that means you. Amen? What are you doing in the prison? Gates open. Come on out of the prison. Shake yourself. Amen? Start believing God. What are you doing going under? Get up on your feet and start going over.
Amen. Amen.
See, we ought to watch what we say about people and to people. We ought to watch, you know, are we destroying their dreams or are we building up their dreams? A gossip is someone who talks about you to other people. A bore is someone who talks to you about himself. A brilliant conversationist is one who talks about you to yourself.
Yeah.
Amen. What are you doing? You know, I've noticed just in with pastors in town, you know, and I got a good relationship with the pastors in town. I'm real good friends with different denominational pastors who may believe differently about a lot of things, but we believe Jesus. I find that if I just start bragging on their programs and start bragging on their church and start talking about what a blessing they are to our community, and if I hear something going on, you know, I tell them about it. I find if I just lift them and brag on them, you've made a friend for life. I mean, when Calvary Baptist started their building, built their building and moved into it, the week before they moved into it, we gave them $1,000 to their building fund. Now, you know, who ever heard of that? Churches giving money to other churches in the same town, different denomination. But I tell you what, we gave that $1,000 the Saturday before they opened up. I went over there, Brent and I did, and put a letter in there from our church thanking them for all the years of service they've provided our community and how we were grateful for their service to the Lord Jesus Christ and thank for all that they're doing and believing with them for great years and things to come. Put a $1,000 check in there for their church. Brother Gene looked at that letter and looked at that check and stood right there and cried. And I've always been friends with Brother Gene, but I tell you what, we're friends for life now. We're friends for life. And they're doing a great job over there. I remember we sent a big bouquet of flowers to First Baptist when they had their 125-year anniversary or something like that. I don't know what it was. But a nice letter from us, you know, in our faith community that we appreciate all they've done for Jesus all those years. You know, if you just brag on people, just lift people, why is there so much hate between churches? I don't understand that. Why is there so, we can't talk to each other because we're competitive, we're competing. Listen, we're not competing, we're completing each other. We don't, there's always going to be First Baptist, there's always going to be Calvary Baptist, United Methodist, First Assembly of God. Hey, they got a new pastor at First Assembly. I think that's awesome. And the pastor's wife called over here the other day. I can't wait to meet him, I'm going to talk to him. In fact, I'm organizing right now the Thanksgiving service again this year, and I want to get with him about that. But, I mean, why all this hate? Why all this division? We are preaching Jesus. We may disagree on a lot of stuff, but we're going to go to heaven and live together forever. Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, International Outreach Church. Yeah, we got some things we might differ on. Yeah, I think everybody ought to come to this church. I don't. But I know that's not going to happen. I thank God for all they're doing. Brag on them, amen. We ought to brag on people and what they're doing. When you hear someone talk about their church, don't try to up them, you know, just upmanship and try to outdo them. Well, I tell you what we're doing. No, I don't even talk about that. If they're got something going, I'm excited for them and I'm praying for them and I'm thinking that's wonderful and great. And, you know, it's no secret what we do. It'll come back around. Amen? Hey, 2 Corinthians 10. Is this helping anybody?
Amen.
Simple message, nothing complicated. But it's something we need to think about. We need to think about. Helping others, blessing others, encouraging others. If you do that, you're going to get encouraged. It's just the law of sowing and reaping. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You help enough people, you'll get plenty of help. 2 Corinthians 10. I think this is awesome because this is Paul talking about his anointing, his gift, and his calling. And he says in 2 Corinthians 10:8, "For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority," he's talking about his authority now, he's apostle, the great apostle Paul, "which the Lord has given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed." Now let's take that apart. Amplified says, "For even though I boast rather freely about our power and authority, which the Lord has given for your upbuilding and not for your demolishing," or demolishing you, "I shall not be put to shame for exceeding the truth." Did you know every minister, I don't know how they minister, but this is what they're called to do. And I, as your pastor, I am called and anointed, and I have authority from heaven to build you up. But I do not have authority to tear you down. Talk about how no good you are and how worthless you are and what a bum you are. And you hate your mama, you hate your papa, you never done a good thing in your life. But God loves you and I love you. God bless your dirty, rotten little hearts. Well, no, I don't have that kind of authority. I don't. I have the authority to tell you to make it. I have from heaven. I've been anointed and gifted by God to tell you that God loves you and he's for you, not against you. And if you'll repent, he'll forgive you. And if you'll come to Jesus, you can start your life anew and afresh right now, and your future's so bright, you got to wear shades. That maybe you've been in prison, maybe you're bound by drugs, maybe you're bound by, pornography and sex, maybe you've had multiple, maybe you've been married 100 times. But I'll tell you, I'm here to tell you, you don't have to live like that. You don't have to continue that way. I want to tell you, God loves you. If you'll repent, if you'll come to Jesus, if you really mean it, and you'll come to him, he'll take you just like you are, and he'll make you another man and another woman. He'll turn you into something you never dreamed or imagined, the best you could ever be. Now, that's what I'm anointed to do. That's the authority that God has given me, is to bless you, to help you, to lead you in the right direction. Yeah, I talk about sin. I talked about it in all that, what I just said there. But I talked about it in a positive way, that you don't have to do it, and you don't have to live in it, and you can be forgiven of it, and you can come out of it. Amen. Woo! And that's, and if I ever get anointed tearing you down, that's not from the Lord. Are you with me? See, I love you too much not to talk about sin, but I love you too much to tell you that you have to continue in it, that you're worthless and no good and you're sorry and God's written you off. He hadn't. If you'll come to him, he'll take anybody that comes to him. See, there's a right way to talk about sin. There's a wrong way to talk about sin. Generally, you got two extremes. You got people that they just can't shut up about it. They just talk about how sorry and no good everybody is and how bad sin is, and they hate their mom and they hate their pop. They hate everybody. They hate the government. They hate the leaders. They just hate from the pulpit. Just hate. And then there's the other extreme when they don't even mention it at all. There's no mention at all about sin. And they're both wrong. Are you with me? We need to mention it, but in love. We need to talk about what's right and what's wrong and give instructions, but with the authority that God has given us to build up, not to tear down. Okay, you sinned. Well, you're not worthless. You're not sorry. You're not no good. You sinned. You did a dumb thing. You rebelled against God, but you can repent and God will put you back on your feet again. Right. Don't internalize and personalize everything that goes on in your life, every failure and every sin that you commit. I may have failed, but I'm not a failure. Are you out there? Amen. There's still hope for me. And there's hope for you. Hallelujah. And Jesus is that hope. So I've been anointed to upbuild, to lift up, to edify. That's that word again. Okidomo. Build up. Not to tear down. Notice 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13. We're in 2 Corinthians 10. He says basically the same thing. You know, that's why. You know why everybody loves Joel Osteen? Because he encourages people. He encourages people. He tells people God loves you. Doesn't God love us? I'm amazed that people criticize him and criticize what he's doing. I'm thinking, how could you criticize Joel? And he's talking about Jesus. He's talking about, maybe he's not a flamboyant preacher. Maybe he's not, you know, hellfire and brimstone. Maybe he doesn't, you know, run back and forth and spit cotton and swing his arms like some preachers do, you know. I understand Joel's a little different than his daddy. I understand that. But Joe uses scripture. He talks about Jesus. He talks about how to get saved. He gives a prayer at the end of the show. And I'm telling you, people around the world have gotten saved because of him standing up for Jesus and telling them they can make it. Oh, hallelujah. How could you be against that? How could you be against Billy Graham? Oh, come on, man. Going around the world and told people that Jesus loves them. Come to Jesus. Give those invitations. And I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of millions of people have gotten saved. Just preaching the good news and preaching the good news glad. Brother Osteen used to always say that. He said, I just can't stand to watch mad preachers. He said, they ought to have a smile on their face. They ought to preach the good news, and they ought to preach the good news glad. Yes. Woo. Amen. And there's people, I get tickled at preachers, just mad at Joe, because he's got so many people follow him, and they don't have anybody, and they don't know why. They're mad, and they're bitter, and they're angry, and they get up, and they just beat on the people every week and talk about how no good Joel is, you know. Thinking, okay, well, okay. Maybe you ought to smile a little bit. Maybe you ought to tell people that God loves them. Maybe you ought to tell them they can make it. You know, I heard this, even old Hog quit coming to slop. You hit him with a 2x4 every time he comes up. Maybe I'll give people a little hope. Tell them that God loves them, they can make it. Come on. People want to know. Listen, if I were out there and coming to a church, I would want to know that there was hope for me. I would want to know, can I overcome this sin? Can I really live for God? Can I have a good marriage? Can I be used? Do I count? Am I important? Does God really love me? I mean, when somebody comes in that door, that's what they want. Are you with me? They want to know they count. They want to know there's somebody. They want to know that they have a future and a hope. They don't come in and get beat over the head. That's not why they're here. We talk about sin, but in a way that, you know, that tells them they can get out of it. Woo. 2 Corinthians 13. Found it? Kind of had a long week here. I don't want to get too wild here. I'll start crying. Man. Now, that gets worse when you get old. Do you know that? I can be just fine until somebody else cries. Somebody else cries, I lose it. You know, I don't know what it is. Empathy cry or whatever. 2 Corinthians 13:10. Therefore, I write these things, being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction. There it is again. God, he said it twice in the same book now. He said, the Lord has given me power and authority to build up, not to destroy. Not destroy. God never gave a pastor or a preacher or an evangelist or anybody stood up in the name of the Lord to tear people down. He gave them the power to build up and to give them hope. Oh, to be point blank, you bet. I believe in being straightforward. I like straight shooters. I like to know where people stand. I hope you know where I stand. I see things very black and white. But it's got to be in love. It's got to be said in love. I don't mind a man correcting me. I don't mind a man, you know, that or someone that's looking out for my best interest, being tough if I know they love me. I'll take it. But if somebody's just being critical all the time, that's another thing altogether. That's why you can't have too many real close friends. We got lots of friends. I don't think you can have too many friends. But you can't have... You can't have too many real close friends, because real close friends, they really speak into your life. They can stir it up. Hello. But you know what? You need that. And if you're any kind of man or woman, you'll take that because you know they love you. And that's the only reason they're saying that. And you can do the same with them, and you can speak into their lives. So you have to earn the right to speak into someone's life. I think that takes intimacy. You have to know somebody for a long time. And you have to earn that right to speak into their lives and be that, you know, straightforward. Are you with me? But it's out of love, and because of love, you receive it. Isn't that right? Because people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. But I can't just do that with anybody. I can't just take the guy off the street and just start, you know, being rough with him and tell him everything wrong with him. And, well, no, it takes time to build that kind of relationship. I can talk about what's right and tell him what he needs to do, but if I'm really going to get on his case, I need to know him better. That makes sense? Amen. That's the authority you and I have to build people up. We say it this way at our church. Empowering people with the good news of Jesus Christ so they can change their world. That's our calling. See, that's what we're we're called to do, is to empower people. Jesus, the Bible says about him, it says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." So church is a place of life. It's a place of healing. Woo, good stuff, amen? Hey, two more verses, we'll wrap this up. Appreciate you hanging here with me. Ephesians 4, here's a good one. Ephesians 4, 29. Galatians, Ephesians, 4th chapter, 29th verse. Says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying," building up again, "that it may minister grace to the hearers." Now see, he's not talking about just your own personal development, your own personal holiness, your own personal spiritual maturity, as it were. He's talking about what you say affecting others. It affects others, and so you need to watch what you say, because you want what you say to build up others and minister grace or favor to those that hear you. So when I'm talking, I need to be conscious of those that are hearing me. Am I adding to them, or am I taking away from them? Am I building them up, or am I tearing them down? Am I destroying their dreams, or am I helping them achieve their dreams? Encourage them to fight, stand. You know, I tell people all the time, if they're down, just don't stay down. That's all right. You know, I heard it said this way, that I'm always, I'm never down. I'm always up, or I'm getting up. Maybe you're down, but don't stay down. Get up. Amen? You can make it. You can overcome this. I know you're hurting. I know you're crying. I know you're in pain. But you know, this will pass. It won't be like this every day. I know I've said that to many people, and I've stood on it myself many times, and I've had people tell me the same thing. That usually what the lie that the devil tries to get you to buy, in a great loss in your life or pain in your life or hurt in your life, is that, God, this empty feeling, I can't live like that. I can't. And that's why people, you know, commit suicide and do stupid things like that, because they think it's going to be that way every day. That's a lie. It's not going to be that way every day. This will get better. God will help you, and he will strengthen you, and this will pass. And you need to tell people that they're going through the mill, you know, fighting the fight. I heard a real good saying. I think it was Jerry Cox. Jerry Cox texted me. I told him about Brother Nichols passing away, and he says, "Well," he says, "it seems like it's the fall of the year. A lot of colorful people are returning to their Creator. Colorful leaves falling off trees and going back to their Creator." You know, I thought that was a neat way to think about it, because everybody's going back. You know, that's encouraging in a time of loss and time of need. But I ought to watch my words and what I say, because what I say is either going to help or it's going to hurt. I'm going to add the problem. I'm going to take away from the problem. And God has ordained me that I would encourage and upbuild and edify people. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, lastly, says this. And this is why church is so important. This is, you know, when God called me to teach, and you've heard me tell the vision, I was 20 years old. I got saved when I was 19, and I was at Lakewood Church in May of 1976. And a guest minister had been preaching, was preaching that night, and I had an open vision. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what an open vision was. I'd only been saved 1 year, and I come out of drugs and jails, so I talked like Psy off of Duck Dynasty. Y'all have heard me tell this story many a time. When God called me to teach, he told me, he said, "I'm calling you to teach." I saw my hometown. I saw a church there that I knew of, and I saw people going into it looking good. They were all dressed up looking good. And I mean, there's a service going on. I'm in a service, and I'm seeing this flash before my eyes, and I don't know what's going on. I'm just 20, and I saw them coming out of the church. There was a door. I was aware I've been to that church before when I was a kid, you know, just visited. And I saw this door. They're all coming out, and boy, man, they were all beat up. It was just it was a bad deal, you know. They looked so good going in, and they looked so bad coming out. It was a church. And I just couldn't get this, it was like a vision, and God said, "I want you to do something about that." Yes, now I'm 20 years old. I got kicked out of high school. I don't have a high school education. Are you kidding me? I'm working as a laborer on a construction job. God says, "I want you to do something about that." And I literally said, "You got the wrong cat, Jack." That's exactly the way I talked back then. You know, I think of, when I think of Cy and all those shows, I thought, I used to talk just like that. You know, that's, well, they're from Monroe, Louisiana. I was from Center, which is 14 miles from Louisiana border. So, but I said it 2-3 times. I said, no. And I was getting real emotional. I said, "Leave me alone. No. No, I can't do anything about it." "No, you got the wrong cat, Jack. You have got the wrong cat." And God just kept saying, "I want you to do something about that." And finally he says, "I'm calling," and he didn't say preach. He said, "I'm calling you to teach my word." And man, I just lost it, you know. And I hadn't cried. I hadn't been into crying. I wasn't into crying. Know anything about that stuff. Boy, things have changed since then, let me tell you. But, but you know, the life I lived and everything, it was just too much. But I have made that my mission. Since that service in May of 1976, I've made it my mission that when I got through ministering, that those people would be better than they were. Before I started. And when God called me to pastor this church, that has always been my mission and always been my prayer, that you walk out of here better than you walk in. That you know that God loves you, that you know that you can make it, that you know you can overcome whatever has come against you. That you don't walk out here defeated, walk out here beat down, walk out of here with no hope. My God, this is a place of hope. This is the church. If you can't come here and get hope, you're not going to get it in the world. If you can't find out you can make it here, where in the world are you going to find out you can make it? That's a crazy world out there, let me tell you. But you have got the power of God in you, and you can overcome it. Hallelujah. That's the good news. You got, greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. Glory. So let's live this life of, as Paul said, following after things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify or build up one another. That's what we all should do. Whatever our calling is, it's got to be in line with that. Amen? Whatever it is you do, you ought to encourage and provoke one another to good works. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, even more so as you see the day approaching." And he says in the 24th verse, "Consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." Thank God for church. Amen? Yeah. Hey, we get encouraged here and we get provoked by each other to love and live holy and live right. And boy, I need it. How about you?